Hello, good afternoon. None of that just happened. My name's Mike Tolte, I work for Microsoft in the UK. All of those contact details are now actually on the screen, so you could take pictures of them if you want to get back in touch with me at a later point. Really nice to be back out here at Tech Days in Holland. I don't think I've been out here speaking in the Netherlands for 3 or 4 years now, so it's really nice to be back. I've always liked this event, and it's great to be back here, and lovely to see so many of you here. We're going to spend the next 70 or so minutes talking about building for both Windows and phone. I've kind of called this Windows slash phone because the language of saying Windows and Windows phone gets a bit lengthy as you say it many, many times. Can I just check with you, not individually, but collectively, who you are? Who in the room is a .NET or C# kind of person? That's all of you. Good. Who in the room would be somebody built something with XAML for either WPF or Windows 8 or Windows Phone? That's most of you. Great. Okay, cool. And who would be familiar with terms like model view, view model, MVVM, and those kinds of things? Oh, this is going to go well. Good. Cool. Very nice to see all of you. Thanks for telling me who you are. That's great. And we will use some of those terms as we go along. Don't feel alienated if you don't use those terms. We will not do anything, hopefully, that's too outlandish or too crazy or anything like that. So the title of this talk is Building for Both. And I thought, well, it might be quite interesting to have a look at where we are in terms of who is actually building for both. How's that kind of going? And just by way of really setting the scene and talking about where we are right now, and then we'll move along and we'll talk about Windows Phone 8.1 and how that changes things. So in terms of who's building for both right now, if you look at the two sort of ecosystems that we've got around Windows and Windows Phone, and specifically at this point, I'm thinking at this point in this talk about Windows Phone 8.0 and Windows 8.1. If you hadn't been following this story along, you might find some of the stuff that I say here a little bit strange. We have Windows and we have Windows Phone. They have two separate application stores. There's a store that you go to download apps for Windows Phone. There's a store you go to download apps for Windows 8.1. If you take a look at the metrics, and I took these metrics off the public Microsoft site, there are approximately, and it might have changed in the last few days, there's approximately 245,000 apps in the Windows Phone store. There's approximately 140,000 apps in the Windows 8.1 store. Add them together, and it's around about 400,000 applications. That's pretty good. That's pretty decent. But I think if you were coming to this and you were new to this, and some of you in the room are probably not, but if you were new to this, you might say, Windows Phone, wouldn't you kind of expect the numbers just to be the same? Wouldn't you expect people to just build for both? And given the title of the talk is Build for Both, there's quite a discrepancy between those two numbers, around about 100,000, which to me is a big number. Now, you might say, of course, the Windows 8.1 store has not been around as long as the Windows Phone, and we can talk about those kinds of things and so on. But when I look at these two numbers, it seems to me that there are probably two main reasons why not every one of these phone applications is a Windows application, and to some extent, vice versa, the other way around as well. I'm going to look at those two reasons through this talk, and we'll see some changes as we go along the way. The two reasons that I would really pick out is I think that Windows devices, by which I mean tablets, laptops, all-in-ones, desktops, those kinds of devices, and phones are quite different. Windows and phones are quite different. There's differences across those kinds of devices. I'll outline some of what I think those things are. But then across those two families of devices right now, we also have differences in our development platforms when we look at Windows 8.1 and Windows Phone 8.0. And I don't think that has to be the case. And as we go along the talk, we'll start to see some of those differences dropping away as we look at Windows Phone 8.1. If we think about just some of these things between phones and other kinds of devices, specifically for me, my phone, it's up here on the desk. My phone is a single-user device. I don't share that phone with anybody. Does anybody share their phone with anybody else? A couple out of maybe 100 of you. So it's pretty rare to share your phone. Generally speaking, my phone sits in my pocket, or if you're a lady, it might be in your handbag or something like that, and it goes pretty much everywhere I go. It's a single-user device. There's a bunch of stuff that I do with my phone. On the phone, my primary mode of input is touch, although we're increasingly perhaps speaking to these phones, but primary mode of input is touch, and battery life to me on the phone is absolutely critical. I really, really care about the battery on my phone. There's a bunch of assumed hardware on the phone. I just assume that the phone will know where I am. I assume it'll have a GPS sensor because they just kind of do. But if you think about some of the other Windows devices, they're definitely multi-user devices. I will let other people log onto my laptop. I have multiple accounts on my tablet at home. I share it with my wife. She uses it. It's fine. We expect that. Input on those devices, typically it's multimodal. You know, primarily, perhaps on a tablet, it might be touch, but then we switch into mouse, keyboard, pen, speech, lots of different kinds of inputs. It tends to change on how you're using the actual device. In terms of the battery on these devices, I care about the battery on my tablet, but I don't care about it a huge amount. My tablet doesn't follow me everywhere. I don't go out into the street with it necessarily and ask it for directions because I ask my phone. So I use it kind of differently. And actually, for me, my tablet lives more in my bag than in my pocket. One of the things about these kinds of devices is we just expect with laptops and tablets that run in Windows to just plug in arbitrary hardware. I expect to plug in a scanner into a Windows device. I expect to plug in a USB port hub into a Windows device. But I have no such expectations about my phone, which is interesting because it's actually running underneath there the same Windows operating system and could potentially serve that kind of hardware. So these devices are just used very differently and have a whole bunch of differences. Now, if you look at some of the apps in the store today, I took an example. I took the official Twitter app and I screenshotted it on my machine. I would say that Twitter largely looks like the same app across the phone and onto a Windows tablet or a Windows laptop. They've kind of homogenized the two devices, and they get what they want done pretty much the same. The UI is slightly different, but pretty much the same across these two kinds of devices. If you look at a different approach, if you look at OneNote, for instance, OneNote, and these are my OneNotes from my personal stuff, so hopefully there's nothing dicey up there in any way. OneNote takes a very, very different approach. It looks different on the phone, and I think it expects you to interact with it differently on the phone. So for me, if I use OneNote on my phone, it's mostly about reading short lists or maybe creating some short notes. That's pretty much what I do with it. I expect my notes to be there. I don't expect to sit down and write a three-page note and format the fonts and insert pictures and drag things around. But I absolutely do expect that when I get to my laptop or my tablet. It depends what I'm trying to do and where I'm trying to do it as to the difference across these two types of devices. Now, I'm not saying that one of these approaches is right or wrong. I'm just saying they are different approaches to the different devices depending on what it is that your application needs to do. So devices are different, but the other side of what I said is that the platforms are also different, and so it requires effort to port between the two things. Here's a sort of sketch of a phone application on the left-hand side. We've got some user experience, user interface code at the top of that thing, and then we've got some blue code, my sort of business logic kind of code in the middle. And then wherever that talks to the platform, there's a layer at the bottom, which I've just called phone platform. And when you look at phone 8.0 and Windows 8.1, these things are different. When you land onto a Windows device, you have a different UI layer over on that Windows device, so that's going to require some work. It's actually going to require two kinds of work. One is if you're trying to adapt for the form factor and build a different UI, but the other is because you're landing on a different platform. So there's a technical piece of work to be done as well. Then we've got maybe some business logic in the middle, but then underneath that, we've got, again, a different platform layer sitting at the bottom of that. So it's a different platform layer over there. Let's just dig into this a little bit. Looking at Windows Phone 8.0, and specifically here I'm thinking of apps rather than games, but we could talk about games after the session if you want to talk about that. And perhaps simplifying things a little bit, that UI layer at the top, typically, you build in XAML, the UI toolkit, either by authoring XAML files or by creating objects from that sort of XAML world. and you use the Silverlight variant of XAML. It's ultimately Silverlight on Windows Phone 8.0 that renders this stuff, so you're kind of using what I've called here Silverlight XAML. And you build your UI that way. And then you write some code that sits underneath that, and then you call into the platform. And your primary set of APIs on Phone 8.0 are Silverlight.NET APIs. So if you want to talk to the file system, you're into a Silverlight.NET API. If you want to talk to the camera, you're into a Silverlight.NET API. And so on and so forth. Now, you do also have a small subset of the Windows runtime available to you, WinRT, but it is quite a small subset on Phone 8.0. And if you want to really poke around into it, you can use that capability to call into a very small subset of the Win32 APIs as well. There's a very small subset of APIs you can get to there. If we contrast this with the Windows 8.1 platform, well, firstly, there's just a lot more boxes. There's just a lot more boxes on here. You've got a lot more choice. The primary choices for apps on Windows 8.1, well, you can build a UI in HTML5 and style it with CSS3, or you can build a UI in XAML. If you build your UI in HTML and CSS, more than likely you will write JavaScript code to sit behind that, and you might use our WinJS library to help power that JavaScript code. Now, notice in the box on the right-hand side, I've been very clear here to call this not just XAML, but Windows XAML. And I call it Windows XAML because it's not the same XAML as you see on Silverlight as on the previous slide. It is a different XAML, so I've called that out here. So if you author in XAML, you might write C++ code or you might write .NET code. If you write .NET code, you would be calling into the subset of .NET for Windows 8.1, which I've called .NET for Windows Store on the slide. That's not the same subset of .NET that you would see in Silverlight on the previous slide. And then your primary set of APIs here are WinRT, the Windows runtime. You can also call into some Win32 functions, but most developers don't. And your primary set of APIs here would be WinRT, the Windows runtime. So if you're in this world of trying to build for both, and you're in this world of trying to build for both with .NET, really, kind of the best you can do is attempt to build some portable code that will port between the two platforms. But your portable code is kind of living in a bit of a difficult sandwich. Below you, you've got a different set of APIs powering the two platforms, and above you, you've got different UI technologies to display things. So you can try and build some portable code and reference it from two places, but your portable code can't call very much. Your portable code can't even perhaps, let's take an example, interacting with the camera is going to be different on the two systems, so your portable code can't portably interact with the camera. It's different APIs on two systems. At this point, I prepare you because we're about to make a little bit of a leap. And based upon what you said you are already in the room, I think you'll be fine with this. I hope you'll be fine with this. And what is it that developers are doing to work their way around this porting between the two platforms right now? Well, mostly what they're doing is they're using techniques like, or patterns like, model view view model in order to gain a bunch of abstraction at the different layers in their application. And sometimes I call this MVVM plus S, where S stands for services. I don't know if I sort of invented that or whether I heard it somewhere, but sometimes I refer to it as MVVM plus S. And then people are using techniques like dependency injection to get around these things. So what often happens is you do something like you build some platform-specific XAML-based views, some for Windows Phone, some for Windows 8.1. You decouple those from the data that lives behind them in portable view models, and you apply binding. So you build some portable view models into a class library. View models typically present models, so you try and make those portable too, and you bind these things together. So you've got loose coupling between those UIs and those view models. And then at the point where those view models want to do anything that's platform specific, like saving objects in the file system, like talking to the network, like talking to the camera, like talking to the GPS, like talking to the App Store, you abstract. You define some kind of portable interface that your view model can take a dependency on. You might have some portable algorithms as well that you might want to use. And then you implement those interfaces multiple times. So you implement them for Windows Phone, and you implement them for Windows 8.1, and you inject at runtime different implementations of those things. And that's typically where people have got to for Phone 8.0 and Windows 8.1. And I just want to show you a simple example. Actually, I want to show you an example of this. So let's just switch over to Visual Studio and show you an example of this rather than just talking about it here. Let me just spring up a solution over here. And this thing here is a very simple solution that I've used a few times. Let me just run this up first. What I've got here is a Windows app. Let's run this. It's very, very simple. It lets me search for some photographs on the online Flickr service. It's a simple thing. You can wander in here and you can type something to search for. I don't know how well or badly this is going to work, by the way. You can tap on the button over here and it navigates across to a second page. It should hit Flickr. It should get you some nice, clean pictures of Holland. Those are fine. And then once you've got one of these sets of pictures, you can navigate across to one of these things by tapping on it here, and that navigates you to a third page where it badly stretches an image. And then you can right mouse to bring up the app bar, and you can save that picture into your photos library on this device. That's really all it does. Keep your eyes on that third page, because it's that third page that we'll take a look at in just a moment. I also have a version of this for Windows Phone, so let's just debug this. And debug this on the emulator. And hey, there's a page, and you can search for nice, clean pictures of Holland. And we can navigate in, pick one of those things, and it saves that picture into the pictures library on the device. So if we go to the pictures library, there is the picture on the device. Quite nice. Now, you might notice, if you're watching kind of closely here, you might notice that I also, in this project, have an Android version of this application. I'm not going to run that right now. It's not really the intention to talk about that. But the techniques that I'm using here, via using Xamarin's technologies, also let me build this out for Android. So that's something you can pick up from my blog site if you want to have a look at that. What we've got in this particular solution are three projects. We have a Windows application. We have a phone application, and we have a cross-platform library. The way that this thing works is that the phone application references the cross-platform library, and the Windows application references the cross-platform library. Beyond there, if we have a look at the two separate applications, maybe starting with the Windows application here at the bottom, you'll notice that fundamentally what it has are three XAML-based views: the search page, the results page, and the details page. It has a few images, not too many really, as it happens. It has a few images in there. And it has a couple of services. It has a couple of platform-specific services, the services that I had to build because the details of saving a photo into the pictures library and the details of navigating between pages are actually different from Windows Phone 8.0 to Windows 8.1. There's actually differences there, so I had to build those out separately. If we have a look at the Windows Phone application over here, it has three views, it has some pictures, and it has a couple of services that are specific to that particular platform. So if I try and just navigate you through one of these views for a minute, let's focus on that photo details page that we saw at the end of the application, and let's just take a slice through this application and have a look at it. That's not too bad. So what is this page doing? Well, fundamentally, it has an application bar where we are data binding the save command. That's what happens when you click the save button at the bottom of the screen. Then what we've got is a simple text block that is binding to a title. So that's very simple and displays a title at the top of the screen. And then we've got an image which is binding to an image URL. And that just displays the image, of course. So that's pretty simple. If we have a look at where the data context is coming from here, the view model for the page, I've used a fairly simple mechanism here. We're using a locator with a particular path. So we say, hey, go find me the view model for this particular page. If we go and have a look at where that locator is defined, can we do this in Visual Studio? Can we hit F12 on this? Yes or no? Answer, no. It was a risk. Let's go over to app.xaml where that view locator is defined, and you will see that this is an instance of a locator. If we go and take a look at that locator, it lives in my cross-platform library. In this cross-platform library, I have a bunch of portable view models. All my view models in this solution were portable across Windows Phone and Windows 8.1. I have a few other bits and pieces, but let's just have a look at that locator that we just talked about. So here's the locator. And what it's actually doing is very simple. We have a reference in this project to AutoFac, which is an IOC container you might be familiar with. You could use whichever one you like. And you'll notice when we set up the IOC container here in this project, we say, hey, if somebody's looking for this view model, it's portable, so just give them an instance of the view model. And this one, and this one, and this one. Then we have an abstracted service, the service which knows how to go across the network, call Flickr, get the data back, and deserialize it, searching Flickr. Well, that just uses HTTP, and so this could be implemented portably too, and the implementation of that service is all over here in this portable code module over here. So that's portable. So again, we say, just wander back over here. If somebody's looking for an implementation of this Flickr service, well, it's portable, so just give them an implementation. But the interesting bit, in a way, is we say, hey, if anybody needs to know how to get hold of a photo saving service, you'll notice that we're registering a type that was passed in as a parameter to this initialize method, because it's different on a per-platform basis. And if we go and look at the Windows application, for instance, let's just go and have a look at that Windows application down here. You will find that it initializes that locator saying, here's the navigation service, here's the photo saving service for Windows. There'll be a different call in the Windows Phone application that initializes it for Windows Phone. So fundamentally, what have we got with this simple three-page application? We've got device-specific views, we've got platform-portable view models, portable model, portable service interfaces for navigation and photo saving, and injection of platform-specific implementations of those for Windows 8.1 and Windows Phone 8.0, which is exactly, I've just recreated with my hands up here, the diagram we had on the screen just a minute ago. That's exactly the situation we've got in this code over here. So that kind of represents where we are. Most people are building portable apps with XAML and .NET, are following this sort of pattern, and through technologies like Xamarin, it will also get you across to iOS and Android. What changes in this world with Windows Phone 8.1? And the answer is quite a lot. Quite a lot changes to Windows Phone 8.1 as of, I guess, 2 weeks ago really now. Let me check with you. Who's running Windows Phone 8.1? Crikey, okay, good. That's nice to see. Me too. So what does Phone 8.1 bring to this? Well, it changes things. Just to give you, a sort of background on Phone 8.1, just to make sure this stuff is already kind of known, it's an update for all of the phones that are running 8.0. Lots of new things for the end user. We'll talk about those in 1 second, but not for very long. It runs all the existing apps and games that we've got on Phone 8.0, which is really, really important. So if you are a developer of an 8.0 app, you can continue to rev that 8.0 app, and you will be able to run that on all the 8.0 devices and all the 8.1 devices as they get upgraded. And I think that's a really important thing. You must be able to do that, and you can do that. But you can also, of course, build a Phone 8.1 application. And if you build a Phone 8.1 application, you can use new UI models and new runtimes behind that application. And that's really what we're going to talk about here. It's not my intention in any way to give you a consumer sort of overview of what is in Windows Phone 8.1. I'm sure that you will have seen quite a lot of this functionality. I pulled out a few bits and pieces and put it on the slide. I've been talking to Cortana, of course. I've got the new swipe keyboard on my phone. There's a bunch of enterprise features in here. There's a bunch of end user features in here. The new calendar is beautiful. I'm not going to do that in this talk. That's not what this talk is about. This talk is about the platform aspects of these things. So I'm going to skip all this beautiful functionality and move on past this slide. New lock screen options. Different music. No, never mind. Let's move on. So what happens from a platform perspective? Well, in my kind of simplistic view, you've still got all the bits that you had before when you look at this thing for Phone 8.1. To me, the thing that really changes across Phone 8.0 to Phone 8.1 is, and watch out for this because I did some advanced PowerPoint work on this little animation here, is that the Windows runtime kind of grows. You get more WinRT for your Windows Phone 8.1 applications. And what that allows me to do is draw a picture for this platform. And you'll notice the title of this slide now is Windows and Phone 8.1. Sometimes I'm calling this now Windows slash Phone 8.1. And this is the same picture that I showed you for Windows 8.1 four or five, six slides ago. I just changed the color. it's a presentation trick. I just changed the color. That's the only thing that's different. So, exactly, yes. I'll take that applause, yes. I worked hard on that. So if you're building for Windows 8.1 and or Phone 8.1, you can build a UI in HTML5, style it in CSS3, and write JavaScript behind that. Or, of course, you can build a XAML-based application. And this is Windows XAML. So on Phone 8.1 and Windows 8.1, it is the same XAML language. It's the same runtime. It's the same XAML language. Then, of course, you can continue to write your C++ code or your .NET code. And if you're writing .NET code, the subset of .NET that you have available to you on both is .NET for Windows Store. It's that same common subset. And your primary set of APIs, are Windows Runtime APIs. They are WinRT across both. And, you know, coming from where we've just been in that previous diagram, this is a very, very positive picture. This is a really good thing. Now, I just want to make a second point with this because there is another model here that's really important to call out. If you've already built a Silverlight 8.0 application, as we've already said, that will continue to run on phones with 8.0 and 8.1, and you can continue to rev it. That's fine. You can also upgrade that thing to be an 8.1 application. If you upgrade it to be an 8.1 application, you are still living in the world of Silverlight XAML, and you're still living in the world of Silverlight.net. But you also get access to this extended set of WinRT functionality. So you don't have to make what I would call a lock, stock, and barrel change. You can take a Silverlight 8.0 app, move it to 8.1, and bring in functionality from Windows Runtime into there as well. So that's a very important thing. We're not really going to focus on that here, but it's an important thing to be aware of that we can do. It's also important to realize, coming back to what I was saying earlier on, there are still differences between phones and other devices, and you are still building two applications here. You are not building one application that magically runs the same binary on phones and tablets and laptops and desktops and all-in-ones. You are still building two applications, a phone app and a Windows app. But the possibilities for sharing between them are greatly, greatly expanded. Oh, hello. Not right now. Do you know if I could turn that off, I would, but I just can't at the moment. So what you've got here is much, much more opportunity for your C# code to be shared across these two project types, across a Windows application and a phone application. And that primary set of APIs underpinning you here to be WinRT, the Windows runtime. So let's have a look at this and pop back over into Visual Studio and spin up this. As you may have seen, Visual Studio has a new project type specifically for supporting this kind of development. They call it a universal project, and we'll take a look at one of those. Let's make a new one of those here. So let's just say File, New Project. And you'll notice that under my Store App section just over here, we've got Universal Apps, and I can make a blank application from that section. And if we go and say OK, app number 103 sounds good to me, so let's say OK. And so what that gives me is a universal app project. So we've got a solution over here, and there's really sort of three things that are living within this solution. Somewhat similar to the example I just showed you, we have a Windows 8.1 project in here, and that's at the top of the screen just here. So we have a Windows 8.1 project here, and we have a Windows Phone 8.1 project in here, and then we have this slightly strange beast called the shared folder, which is an interesting thing, and he's living in here as well. Let me just show you what this looks like on the disk before we go any further. Let's just open this thing up in the File Explorer. Let me just open this thing up in the File Explorer. And if we have a look at this on the disk, you'll see that there are three folders up here. There's a shared folder, a Windows folder, and a Windows Phone folder. So these things are actually represented on the disk as three separate folders. If we have a look at what's in these different things, if we look into the Windows app for a moment, what we've got here is a mainpage.xaml, so that's our main view. We've got an application manifest that describes the Windows 8.1 app. We've got a bunch of images, and we've got some references. .NET for Windows Store apps, Windows 8.1, which is WinRT, and a reference to the shared folder. This isn't a real reference, it's a sort of pseudo-reference to the shared folder. If we have a look at the Windows Phone application, we've got an application manifest, a mainpage.xaml, a few bitmaps, a reference to .NET for Windows Store apps, a reference to WinRT, and a reference to the shared folder. And if we have a look in the shared folder, well, what we've got down there is an app.xaml file and an app.xaml code behind file. So this shared folder is an interesting thing. The way that I view it in my head is that essentially the things that are in the shared folder are logically, if you like, copied into the other two projects at build time and built within the contexts of those projects twice. That's kind of how I think of the shared folder. It's almost logical copying plus building multiple times. But it's a very useful thing to have, and we'll see some of that really as we go along. Just one of the couple of things I want to illustrate just while we're here is if we take a look, for instance, in the Windows application up here, let's just take a look at the mainpage.xaml, open it up in a XAML editor for a moment. I really just want to make the point that this thing here is a page, and it's coming from a particular XAML namespace. And if we wander into the Windows Phone application over here and just bring up that main page over there, this thing over here is a page and it's coming from the same XAML namespace. It's the same page. It's not a phone application page. It's not a weird and wonderful different page. It's the exact same thing shared across those two different project types. So it's the exact same thing that we've got across those two things. So let's just have a look at app.xaml, because that opens up an interesting thing as well. If we go down to the shared folder, one of the things I want to show you about the shared folder is the shared folder is not a project. It doesn't have references. You can't reference a library from the shared folder. We'll see how we get around that in just a second. But if we open up the app.xaml in here, you'll notice that, hey, it's just an application. It comes from, if you like, the WinRT set of libraries as an application class. And then if we have a look at app.xaml.cs down here, again, it's just an application. But you might start to notice a couple of things. There is some conditional compilation creeping in here, which kind of reflects the fact that this thing is built twice, once for Windows Phone and once for Windows 8. I'm saying 8, I should really say 8.1. Once for Phone, once for Windows, let's say it that way. This thing gets built twice. Now, that makes this file a little bit difficult to deal with because it's used in two contexts, and that makes my head feel a bit confused, literally. And so what the guys have done with the editor here, for stuff that's in the shared folder, you can switch the navigation context using this menu up in the top left. So if we just go to this little navigation bar right up here in the top left, I'll try and find that just here, we can switch this between Windows and Windows Phone. And so if we switch this down to Windows Phone, you would notice that this piece of code here just lit up because it's now included because we're in the Windows Phone context. We're not in the Windows context. And that goes quite a bit further. So let me just try and illustrate that for you. I know, for instance, there's a class in Windows Phone 8.1 called Content Dialog. And you'll see that I can use that thing and it just works fine. It's all giving me IntelliSense. But you might notice, and I don't know if I can actually see this now, I can't quite zoom in on that for you, but what that little message is telling me off to the side of the screen there is there's a little warning triangle. And what it's trying to tell me is this class doesn't exist in Windows 8.1. And we can see that if we switch the context over here to Windows, then the IntelliSense engine goes very, very quiet and says, I can't help you with this class because it doesn't exist in the Windows content. Let me show you context. Let me show you another example. There's a class in Windows called Tile Template Type. It's an enumeration. All these different tile template types are common, but then we notice we get to one here, which is actually only available on Windows 8.1, not Windows Phone 8.1. It'll probably be a 310-pixel tile because they're too big for the phone. And so the IntelliSense is trying to warn me, hey, actually, you can't do this on both platforms. And that's because I'm working in the shared project, so we're trying to help you out with that stuff there. Let's just build something really simple. Let's close this down. Did we make changes to it? Not sure. Let's see how we get on. Let's just build something really simple. Let me pop to my folders here and grab maybe a couple of things. Let's just go into the shared folder. I'll add a new folder here called images, perhaps. No, assets. Let's call it assets. That's better. And let me just grab this IE logo and drag it into that assets folder over here so it's there. And then let me go and add a new item in here where we'll add a resources file, for instance. Let's find a resources file. And notice that this is a ResW file as per Windows 8.1. That was a new format introduced in Windows 8.0. It's not something you'd see on Phone 8.0, but it is something you'll see on Phone 8.1. So let's add that in here. And let's just edit that. Let's say we'll have something called page title text.txt, and let's have that called launcher, for instance. Just a little string resource to have in there. And then let's go over to our phone UI. So let's go to main page on the phone over here. And let's create a UI. You'll not be too fancy here. Let's just make some space. And into that space, let me throw a text block or something. Let's say text block XUID equals, now what the heck did I just call that thing? Page title text, maybe? Something like that? Maybe. We'll check in a second. I'll have a look. Let's have a style on that. That should be fine. And that may show up. Let me just see what I did call that thing. Page title text. And that is called page title text. So that should be okay. That should work. Again, if you haven't seen this before, this is something I think we introduced in Windows 8.0 as a way of finding resources. And then let's have an image somewhere in here. So let's say, in fact, let's have a button. And in that button, let's have an image. And did we call it assets.web.png, something like that? Hooray. And did we have a click handler? Can be that one there. And so we'll write a little click handler for this thing. Let's just jump to that code with F12 in Visual Studio. Let me just rename it while I'm here. And then let's write some code. So let's just launch up Internet Explorer. So let's say launcher. And very importantly, this is a WinRT API. So I'm calling that from Phone 8.1. Let's say launch URI async. Let's say, oh, where's my keyboard gone? Let's say http://www.microsoft.com, something like that. And we possibly should, you know, I don't know. Maybe we should do that. We can have a deep and philosophical debate about whether that's necessary later on in this particular method. But not to worry, let's go and see if we can debug this on the phone. So let's go over to the phone. And is that the phone? Sorry. Yep, that's the phone. Let's go and debug this on the phone. Mm-hmm. Great, it's beautiful. Tap the button, yes, and we launch Internet Explorer, not too surprising. Now, imagine I wanted to take this amazing creation, and don't laugh, this is my best work, this is it. I'm pleased with this. Let's say we wanted to take this amazing thing and move it across to Windows 8.1. Well, what I might want to do, if I just stop debugging, and I thought about this for a second the first time I did this and thought, well, okay, great. copy, shared folder, paste. Because I thought, well, there's an assets folder here with web.png in it, and that seems to be working quite nicely, so why not this? And I built, and Visual Studio said, but you've got too many mainpage.xamls. I don't know what to do with that. And so I said, okay, not a problem, because what I could do is just delete some. So get rid of the one from Windows 8.1, and get rid of the one from Windows Phone. And now we just have the one, and it's in that shared folder, so if I go and double-click it, then again, you've got this notion of context. Which context is it open in? At the moment, it's clearly open in a Windows 8.1 context, but I might want to design it in a Windows Phone 8.1 context. And so I can switch the context from a XAML perspective as well and work that way in there. But let's just make sure that we can debug this on Windows 8.1. So let's just debug that. See how that goes. There it is. I could have sized things a little bit differently. We tap on the button. It launches IE. I would point out that we called the same API and it did something kind of different. Because on Windows 8.1, you can have multiple windows on the screen. You can't do that on the Windows Phone. And so it actually did a slightly different thing, but from a user's perspective, probably achieved what we wanted. Let's put that back over there. Now, I just want to make a point before we leave this simple demo. I just want to make a point that I am not saying that what you need to do is share all your UI and share all your code in this way. The shared folder is a very useful thing, and we'll use it a bit more as we go along in this talk. But of course, this does not mean that you cannot build class libraries to share binary code, as people have been doing for a very long time in software generally. And you can do that here. Of course, you can do that here. So what we could do is we could go out to our solution, and we could add a class library. So let's go and say, okay, I would like to add a new project, and that can be a class library, a portable class library, portable across Phone 8.1 and Windows 8.1. We'll leave it called Class Library 1, that doesn't matter. So let's okay that. And then here's the slightly interesting thing. We don't reference this from the shared folder. We reference this from the two top-level projects. So we can add a reference to that class library, and we can go over here, and we can add a reference to that class library. And now both of those things have references to that class library. And then what we could do inside of the class library, we could say something like public static task, no task, launch, something like that. And we could just say await launcher. It's not going to get me get away with that, is it? I've got this code already, haven't I? And we could just await that thing in there. And then in our main code, instead of doing what we were doing before, in our shared folder over here, we could, of course, be calling that... Oh, excuse me. We could, of course, be calling that class library. And it's kind of the same thing. So if we run that up, we should get exactly the same effect as we got before. So not to take away from class libraries, because we still need those things, and you can still do those things absolutely here inside of Visual Studio. So let's move on a little bit from sort of Hello World and how that kind of works. When we're talking about XAML across Windows Phone 8.1 and Windows 8.1, it is the same XAML. It is the same variant of the XAML language. So if you're thinking, yeah, but does it have the same data binding capabilities? Yes. Does it have the same syntax for introducing intrinsic types like doubles and integers and strings? Yes. It's the same XAML. It's rendered by the same rendering engine. It's using the same libraries for its controls. It's the same thing across the two. It's not any kind of difference across those two things. In terms of controls, I kind of bucketed the sort of controls that you've got available to you into three or four categories here. You have a bunch of controls that just do what they do. So you have buttons and sliders and progress bars and those kinds of things. They have the same API on both platforms. They do the same thing on both platforms. They're just kind of the same. You have some controls that are the same on both platforms with the same APIs, but they render themselves just slightly differently. And you also might put slightly different content into them onto different platforms. So a simple example of this would be something like a grid view or a list view. The way that they handle selection on Windows is slightly different from the way in which they handle selection on the phone, but it's the same control in both cases with the same API surface. If you take something like the hub control, which was a new control that we introduced in Windows 8.1, it's the same control in both places. It does a slightly different thing with some of the UI on the phone, and you'd probably use different content inside of that control on the phone. I can show you an example of that in a second, just a sort of cheap and cheerful example of that. Then we have some controls which are common, and a good example here is a date picker. It's the same control with the same API surface, but it renders differently on Windows 8.1 from Windows Phone 8.1 because the user experience that we've built up on those two platforms are different. So you have a different rendering of the control, but it's doing the same thing. And then finally, you have one or two controls, it's really not that many, that only exist on one platform. So the pivot control is a good example. It only exists on Phone 8.1. There is no Windows 8.1 pivot control. That would be a good example. But those are really in the minority. The vast majority of things are shared across the two. Remembering, as I said earlier on, that form factor and usage do matter. Here's Nokia's Here Maps on my phone and on my tablet. They display and render themselves differently, perhaps even offering different functionality because people use them differently. Let's just take a quick look at a demo of that hub control. Let's just pop out of PowerPoint for a second. And let me just get rid of Visual Studio here. And let me just spring up Visual Studio over here. Now with me one second. So this is a really nasty sort of copy that I tried to make of Bing News on Windows and Windows Phone. It's really, you'll see what my skills are like. They're terrible. Let's go and run this up on Windows 8.1. Let's just try this. Quick example of this. It's a big sort of curated image with some details about a story, and we can pan across, and then there's some more stories with a list of made-up stories over here, and then some sources for news displayed in a grid view over here, which was a bit of a cheap and cheerful attempt on my part. Quite a lot of UI, quite a lot of real estate. This is a hub control from Windows 8.1. Let's go and stop debugging that. Let's do the same thing on the phone. Let's just spin that up. This is my attempt to make exactly the same thing as Bing News displays on a Windows phone. It's the same control. We're using a hub control in both cases. You might notice that subtly, as I pan across, you might notice that the background image is actually doing a sort of parallax scroll across the screen, which it wouldn't do on Windows 8.1 because we don't do that on Windows 8.1. You might also notice I've tailored the images, and I've tended to use lists here rather than grids. So I've actually changed the content slightly between these things. And you might also notice that if I go over the end of the screen, it goes back to the beginning, which we do on the Windows phone, but we don't do on Windows 8.1. So this is fundamentally the same thing. If we take a look at it just briefly, here's the phone UI. It's using a hub control. Hub controls contain sections that have data templates, and then you can put whatever you want inside of those data templates. If we have a look at the Windows UI, it's a hub control with hub sections and data templates. And I've used slightly different content in those templates from some of the templates on the phone. Fundamentally, though, it's the same control. It's the same hub control in both places. Just displaying itself slightly differently and with slightly different content placed inside of it. So just an example of how that changes slightly across the two platforms. Let's talk a little bit about APIs. Let's talk a little bit about Windows runtime. Again, across Phone 8.1 and Windows 8.1, you've got a ton of common APIs. And I'll try and illustrate what some of these are in a minute. But you've got a ton of common APIs. But once again, you've got some specifics, and they're in the minority. It's probably around about 10% or so of APIs that are specific to a particular platform. So for instance, on Windows, a good example would be what I talked about earlier on. You have the ability to launch secondary windows. You have the requirement as a developer to deal with people resizing your windows. This just doesn't happen on the Windows phone. You don't have to think about it. You don't need those APIs. You don't need a window resized event because it's not going to happen on the phone. Over on the phone, there are some things, for instance, you probably have seen as you're running the operating system, the new action center on the phone. There are APIs for interacting with that that wouldn't exist on Windows 8.1 because there isn't an action center in the same way on Windows 8.1. So you've got a few APIs that are specific to the platforms, but the vast majority of stuff is going to be common. I wanted to kind of make this point quite strongly. If you were a Windows Phone developer and you build an 8.1 application, not with Silverlight, but with the technology we're talking about here, with Windows XAML, if you want to talk to the file system, you would be using WinRT APIs. You'd be using the local folder, the temp folder, the roaming folder. And yes, if you write data into the roaming folder, we can automatically roam that to your users' other phones for you from that roaming folder for free. It's just like it is on Windows 8.1. If you want to talk to the store, if you want to do in-app purchases, then you're using the same WinRT APIs for that. If you want to do the app lifecycle, so you want to handle launch, suspend, resume, terminate, it's the same WinRT APIs for that stuff. You're into the Windows 8.1 lifecycle, effectively. If you want to update tiles and toasts and those kinds of things, WinRT APIs for those things. And really, all those things I've kind of listed on the slide and many more, you would now be using WinRT APIs. You wouldn't be using the .NET APIs that you might know from Phone 8.0. So this stuff has real impact. Just to give you an example, under that notification section, if you're using push notifications on Windows Phone 8.1, you will be using the WinRT APIs. What that means is that you will be using the Windows Notification Service in the cloud, WNS, not the MPNS service that you might have used on Windows Phone 8.0 in the past. So the fact that these APIs change also brings through a bunch of implications about the underlying infrastructure, if you like. Let's have a quick look at a couple of examples of this. Let's just drop out to Visual Studio again. So this is kind of a simple example. I wanted to have something that was relatively short in terms of code. So let's just run a couple of applications here. Let's run this on Windows first. And essentially, this is just a little piece of code that lets you change your primary tile for your application. So you can pick an image. It's kind of cute. You can change the text. Hello, whatever. I won't change any more text. And then we can call an API to update your tile. And if we flick over to that tile on the start screen, I would be hoping that that will update the tile. And at some point, the text will flow through as well, like that. So fine, we can call an API to do this. If we go back over to the phone, let's just go and debug this Windows Phone project. We've kind of got the same thing. Let's just let that launch up. We'll pick a different picture. Probably need to pin the app to the start screen of the phone, I would guess. Let's just go pin the app. The app is called app number 67. Great, let's just go back to the app. So we pick a picture, we make some text. We'll leave the text, it's fine, and we'll just press the button to make the tile. Pop back to the start screen, and we'd hope to see that change on that particular tile. And of course, Windows Phone has a slightly different flip effect for displaying the other side of that tile, as we can see. Fine. What's nice about this is that if we take a look at what's in my actual code for doing this, essentially, in each project, I have a main page, and there's a button in there somewhere, but what I did was I moved part of my partial class into the shared folder, because it was the same code in both places. We work out which image you've clicked on. And then I call my own little routine to make a tile. And that routine is also in the shared folder. And if you've looked at Windows 8.1, you will recognize the tile update manager, the tile updater, and the tile notification classes. These are all Windows runtime functions that are now common, obviously, across Phone 8.1 and Windows 8.1. So I have the whole tile catalog to go at, and I've got common code in terms of updating my tiles on the start screen. So just common code for that stuff. Let me show you a slightly more complex example, which is doing something a bit more involved, perhaps, on the phone. Let's take a different example. Let's spin up something else. So once again, a different project here in Visual Studio, and once again, maybe I'll run this up on Windows 8 first. Let me just unregister that and run it again. Bear with me one second. Let's run that up. So what this does is, like many applications on mobile devices, you often need to push stuff off to background workers because you can't guarantee that the user's going to run your app for any period of time. And if you looked at Windows Phone 8.0 and Windows 8.1, they had very different ways of doing background work. If you look at Windows Phone 8.1 and Windows 8.1, they have identical, pretty much, ways of doing background work. And so what I've got here is a little bit of background implementation. So when we click this button here, what we should do is register a background task. And that task is registered on the change of a time zone. So if we change the time zone in the operating system, that background task should spring into life. So let's see if we can do that. Let's just drag this over here, and let me just see if I can get settings over here. And let's see if we can find date and time. And let me wind my time zone back a little bit. Let's go to Salvador, for instance. And what should happen at that point is it should trigger the background task. Now, the background task doesn't do anything but report progress if there happens to be a foreground application around to listen to that progress. And you can probably see the progress bar moving across from the background task over there on the left-hand side. And then it records the last time that it ran, and that's kind of what it does. We can do the same thing on the phone. Let's just go and debug that on the phone for a second. Let me spin up this thing over here on the phone. Oh, I seem to have... Why is that not building for me? Okay. Let's see if we can rebuild. Not strictly telling me why it's not building. Excuse me, sorry? Did I? Okay. Let's just see if we can follow that very good advice and see if we can start an instance of this on the phone. Got you. Okay, yeah. Okay, so we're back on this, and because we messed around with our time zone, thank you for that, it's very useful. We're back, and that's running just fine. So on the phone, we can register the task, that's cool. And the task should now be registered. And then we could play around with the time zone on the phone. Or what's also common across these two things is the way that we can use the debugging infrastructure to play with background tasks. So we can actually go to Visual Studio and invoke a background task. Now, sometimes that menu shows up as blank, and then it shows up as not so blank. You didn't see this. It's a little trick I learned. And then we can invoke the background task from the debugger, and the foreground application picks that up, and we can see that that's now running on the phone. What's nice about this, if we take a look at it, is that the implementation, essentially for this thing, is in not just a portable library, it's in a portable WinRT component. If you ever build one of these background tasks, you actually have to build a WinRT component. So we've built a background task, an implementation of iBackgroundTask. There's only one method on iBackgroundTask, which is run. And so what we do, we run, and we do effectively a loop where we report progress to any foreground application that might be listening, and then we do a nice asynchronous delay. And we just write into the application settings the last time that this task actually successfully ran. And what we've got here is a portable background task that's shared between the Windows Phone application and the Windows 8 application. Beyond that, we've also got some code in that foreground application to register the task, to synchronize event handlers with the task. And the nice thing about that is that that is also shared. All of that code is shared in this mainpage.xaml file. And without going through it in great detail, let's just flick through 1 second. Here's the place where we actually create a background task builder. We set up the trigger to be of type time zone change. We tell it about the entry point of our task, and we register it with the system. So that's also shared code. So we've got background working with a common background task and common registration code, and it's all WinRT APIs, and it's all the same code living across those two. In fact, I think in this particular case, even the UI I actually shared between the two. So I just made the UI once and shared it across the two. I'm not saying you would always do that, but in this particular case, I think I did and just shared it across the two. Just to kind of round out the story with where we started back at the start of the session, I showed you that application that I built which searched for pictures on Flickr. And so I re-implemented that on top of Windows Phone 8.1 and Windows 8.1. And so I have that application here. And if you remember, the way this application looked was we had two projects. Let me just pin this out for a second. We had a Windows project, we had a Windows Phone project, and we had a cross-platform library, and that's exactly what I've still got. But if we take a look into my shared folder, I managed to share some pictures between these two applications. I managed to share all of my startup code between these applications, and I managed to share my string resources between these applications. That was using the shared folder. But in the cross-platform folder, I shared pretty much everything. So just to zoom in on that a little bit, all of my view models were portable now. And if you remember, when we started building this at the start of the session, we had a navigation service and a photograph saving service that were platform specific. With Windows Phone 8.1 and Windows 8.1, I don't need those to be platform specific anymore. I can just build those once. So they're built into my library and they're now portable. And it's really quite nice because even though this is just a simple application, if we take a look at this, in my Windows 8.1 project, all I have are three views and an application manifest. In my Windows Phone project, all I have are three views and an application manifest. Everything else has gone into my cross-platform library, which is really, really quite nice, much nicer than where we started out. It's very simple, very clear as to where everything is and how everything's structured. So we get a much better solution out of this than the one I started with before we came to Phone 8.1. And we saw that, and we saw that. I just want to finish up just briefly talking about packaging of these things. You are still building two application packages. They are both .apex files. There's not a zap file involved here. They are both in the same format. They're both .apex files. And they get submitted into the Windows Phone Store and the Windows Store. So they get submitted separately with separate metadata, which might well make sense because phones and Windows devices can be quite different and you might have quite a different app across the two. We unified the developer registration for Windows Phone and Windows Store quite a while ago. I don't remember the exact date, but we unified that so that developers could register once quite a while ago. We have now, I think this has already been done, unified the developer registration and the developer agreement and the submission policy for the store. I know that when I went to the store a couple of days ago, it made me sign a new developer agreement, or at least tick agree on that. Obviously, I read it very carefully with my legal team, and after a few days of reflection, I ticked the yes button on there. we've unified those things as well. We've also unified the default update policy for an application. So you might notice if you're running Windows Phone 8.1 that by default, applications will automatically update, which I think is a really good thing. That's a nice thing to have as a developer. So your users should be on the latest version of your apps. And we've also really got unified store capabilities sitting behind this. If you're thinking in terms of trial versions and in-app purchases and consumables and durables and things you can buy from the store, that's going to be common across your Phone 8.1 and your Windows 8.1 apps. And you can actually take that a little bit further. If you've got apps in the Windows Phone 8.1 and Windows 8.1 stores, you can choose as a developer, if you want to link them together. You don't have to, but you can choose to. If you choose to, and you do it by using some GUID name that you link the two together, if your user buys your app in one store, they would automatically have the right to get it from the other store. So you could sell them the app in the phone store, but they'd be able to get it then from the Windows store if you link these two things together. If your user buys something inside of your app, let's say on your phone app, if you've linked things together, they would have the right to have that content on your Windows app. That's for durable purchases on those devices. And this is your choice. You don't have to do this. You can if you want to. And the other thing this enables is if you've linked your apps together, and I'm using your app on my phone, and you write some data into the roaming folder, not only then will we roam that to my other phones, we can roam that to all Windows devices. So, you know, they have the idea that I'm using OneNote on my phone and I'm editing a particular note and then I pick up my laptop and it could have roamed that data across to there and I can carry on editing the same note on my laptop. So you get that continuity across devices. All of that stuff is at your discretion. All of that stuff is your choice as to whether you want that or not. Just a quick word about describing these applications. I don't think I've shown you an application manifest. They are largely the same across Windows Phone 8.1 and Windows 8.1. There's a few differences in the imagery that you need to create and submit. There's one or two differences in the capabilities that the applications have, but they're not dramatically different across the two things. There's one or two differences in the declaration. So what would be an example? On Windows 8.1, you can be an autoplay application, but you can't do that on the Windows Phone, for instance. So there's just a few differences there across the devices. Windows Phone does have one section that Windows doesn't have, and it's this notion of requirements. I require NFC chip for this application to work. You don't have that on a Windows app, so you don't have that section in the manifest. On Windows, you just have to write code to test to see, does the user have the hardware that you want. On Windows Phone, you can still demand that the user has certain capabilities. And then the last difference that I could really find between the two manifests, on Windows on the right-hand side, because the user can resize your windows, you specify a minimum width of 500 pixels or 320 pixels. You can't do that on the phone, so you don't specify that setting. But on Windows Phone 8.1, it's actually possible for your application to be installed onto an SD card. Again, as a developer, you can control that, so there's a little tick box to say, do I allow this application to be installed onto an SD card? So when you look across the two manifests describing the two sets of applications, they are very, very similar, with just a few differences across those things. So what have we seen here? We've been on a bit of a journey, starting with Windows Phone 8 and Windows 8.1. We looked a little bit at a sort of simplified MVVM app on there and how we could build cross-platform with that. And then we switched across to look at Windows Phone 8.1 and how that unification of those two platforms really brings things much, much, much closer together. We've got common XAML layer, we've got common WinRT layer. We talked about what that means to some extent, showed you some examples of what those things sort of look like. You can, of course, also build applications for both systems now with HTML and JavaScript or XAML and C++, alongside, of course, all of the gaming technologies like all the DirectX APIs and writing C++ behind there. I really want to make the point that I think having that shared folder inside of Visual Studio is a really, really useful thing to have. But it doesn't mean that the approaches that you've taken in the past of abstracting things, layering things, dependency injection, model view view model, those things don't go away. You can still continue to build just like that. And those also have the advantage of when you're thinking about other platforms as well. So if you're thinking about iOS and Android and looking at technologies like Xamarin for .NET, then those techniques will help you there too. So I would still be a strong advocate of those kinds of techniques for all the goodness that they bring. But we've now got common platform across Phone 8.1 and Windows 8.1, and that way of working in Visual Studio to just share assets across the two as well, which I think just brings more to the overall sort of system than we had before. So with that, I hope you found that useful. I hope you found it interesting. I'd love to take your feedback. Feel free to tweet at me. Feel free as well, because I think you can win prizes, to go to techdaysapp.nl, and you can feedback up there about the sessions, and there's some stuff to give away, so I'd encourage you to do that too. Hope you enjoy the rest of the day. Hope to see you around if you're around in the hallways. I've got a couple of sessions tomorrow. Feel free to come along to those things. That'd be nice to see you there as well. And also, there are some other sessions. I picked out some sessions that are later today on similar topics around phone and Windows and so on. So come along to some of those. I'll be in some of those sessions as well. Thanks a lot for listening. Enjoy the rest of your day and tomorrow, and hope to see you soon. Thanks a lot. Thank you.